Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat. It's an extra special episode. This is episode 200
Crazy.
Of IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
And Steven Rue.
What up?
We have a big episode today. Make sure you watch all the way to the very end. We're going to be talking about memories that we have of working on this show, everybody that has helped make it possible, and we have a little something at the end that you'll definitely want to hear. We're also going to talk about the patch notes, of course, from the last few weeks as we had a little bit of a vacation. But first, I got to pass it to Sean Finnegan. You have something you want to reveal on the show today.
Yeah, probably to a lot of the audience's happiness, this will be my last Fireteam Chat episode as like a full-time member of the panel. I can't announce where I'm going yet, but I will be leaving IGN. I'm not going too far. I'll still be in content. I'll still be making things, and I'll still be on camera. So, going to Bungie. Not going to Bungie. Not going to a developer. But I will be really sad to go. I've been at IGN 7 years, and I go back with all of you. Very long time, and Fireteam Chat specifically has been a huge part of my life and the content that I make on a regular basis. So I want to thank you guys for having the opportunity to come on the show and express my opinions about the game that I love. And, you know, if you're an audience member out there, love me or hate me, I want you to know that there was never a moment that I wasn't speaking what I truly felt about the game, whether that's something you agreed with or didn't.
That was a thing that we've all talked a little bit about this off camera that I appreciated the most. You may not see it, but in behind the scenes, we actually very much disagree about a lot of things, but I think it's pretty well known, even from the people in, you know, watch, that we are good friends. And it is one of those things where, I think it's hilarious because more often than not, the moment the camera ends, I look at Sean and I'm going like, bro, are you serious? And now I know that he is, but I've just accepted that fact. So I definitely will miss you. And for that perspective, you always brought to the show.
Thanks. Yeah. I mean, I think we do a really good job as people on this show talking about how we perceive the game in a way that's really honest. Yeah. I don't think I would ever, say what we've said wasn't true to how we felt about the game. And sometimes, CJ said, we disagree on that a lot. And sometimes we do it on the show, and we definitely do it like out in the editorial pit. Like we talk about Destiny, and sometimes we argue and we get loud and stuff. It's great.
Punches are thrown.
but like for the audience, people out there, like, I mean, it just, I don't think there's any harm in reiterating that. Yeah, we're always very honest about how we feel about that. And obviously that doesn't mean you have to agree with it, but it is how we feel.
Yeah. The show has been better because you've been on it. And of course, if you ever have time and you want to stop by, the seat's there for you. So
thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much time I'll have to be able to come back, but I, welcome the opportunity and thank you guys for that. And I will try not to be a stranger. But like I said, I'm not going too far. Mm-hmm. You could actually follow me on Twitter at @ShotByFinnegan because I will be able to announce where I'm going and the details of that after I leave IGN, which at this point will be in about 2 weeks. This last week, this upcoming week, will be the sort of wrapping up period for me and finishing up my projects, sort of imparting any wisdom I have onto the producers around who are sticking around and, kind of just getting ready to make a big change in my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, you guys have been a big part of my life. The show has been a big part of my life, as well as all the fans out there. So we really have the best community out there and you guys. So thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for supporting me and all these guys up here. I know we really appreciate it. So thank
you. Absolutely.
Thank you, Sean. Our producer, Ronnie, actually helped us put together a little bit of a package to really encompass what you have brought to the show. And we thought we'd play it at the top. Ronnie, if you could play it, we'll react to it live.
Go. See, it feels good, though, finally, because that Titan sound, when you heard it in Destiny 1, you ran. Now in Destiny 2, you hear that Spectre Blade sound, you're like, that's what it feels like.
All right, well, here I am. Bungie, the next thing you should do for Hammer Titans, make us invisible, too.
Take us off radar.
Just throw invisible hammers. Can't see me. I'm not on the radar.
Invisible hammer.
Hey, then we want...
Yeah. If you AFK in something like Gambit or like that,
well, Kicks, yeah.
If you're that player, I write your name down in a book. I have a little book. Like, not only do you get reported, but I remember your name. It's written down.
And he calls up Deej.
Yeah. Oh. Sound like Hazard 30. He's like, let me look.
Yeah, and then I call Bungie via my Bungie apologist red phone.
This is Sean Finnegan.
Yeah.
You know, Fortnite actually is a great game to look at.
Fortnite is great.
So it is amazing. Ow, quiet. Let me just stick to the topic of
people. Sean, what's your 60-second?
60-second solution?
Yeah, what should they do?
Well, first off, I don't think you have to fix something that isn't broken. So the solution is to get good.
Oh, there we go. No, okay, so welcome to the fire team, Chad.
Wow, look at how
your friend is. Everybody. Welcome back this week.
My Fran, Twitter handle is different.
Indeed.
Thank you for making time. Yeah.
I look exactly the same. Guest. I definitely didn't lose weight.
Hello, everyone.
Sean, you've been playing a lot of Destiny.
I've put in what I would call an incredible amount of time over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
What brought you back?
Honestly, it was House of Wolves, you know?
Wow,
like
Destiny 1. You won
back in the day.
Yeah. Look at my iPhone. Which I thought was a great game back then, too, but it seemed a little bit bare bones.
What is he
but
wearing?
All this new content has got
his hair looks great.
Oh, as always.
Actually,
that old podcast room.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think you talked about it on, like, on live.
Why am I writing?
Stuff that you're on.
I do.
Oh, had you breakouts.
Yeah.
That's right.
That is, wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's
so I thought
it was amazing. Yeah.
I thought we would take a little bit of a trip down memory lane and sort of talk about how you ended up on the show. Originally, the show was me, Jose, and Alfredo.
Right.
Alfredo left. He's now at Rooster Teeth. Right. And then we brought you in, and my goal was always to have a PlayStation fan represented and a Xbox fan represented and also PvP players represented, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why what you guys represent today. And I know we all play on PC. It would be great to have a console player, but we don't happen to have one.
Oh, well, we used
try
to be
in
sometimes.
The office.
Oh, we used to
yeah,
be
we used to
players.
Be. That's how we started.
Yeah.
But yeah, you brought both the Xbox fan base, gave mm-hmm. them a voice, and you also brought the PvP fan base. Do you remember how you ended up on the show?
I don't. It was a long time ago at this point, but I do remember that originally the show was you, Fran, and Alfredo and Jose. And then I remember there was like sort of rotating third chairs there when people were out of the office because the reality of IGN is everyone who is on camera is super busy. It isn't our jobs just to do what we're doing right now much as we would like it to be. So Jose was out or Alfredo was out or something. And I remember you coming to me because at that point, a lot of people were playing in the office who you don't see on camera. And I had been on Unlocked, so you and I had talked a lot. And you knew,
that's right.
Yeah, I used to be like the sixth man on Unlocked. And then, so you knew I had the ability to like talk passionately about things that I care about. And we had a good rapport. And I think you had me fill in one time. And that was what we just saw right there. And I think it just became.
That was the crew.
Yeah.
Those
yeah.
three
for a
like
long time.
A long time. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. Prior to me coming here, I actually used to watch a lot of Fire.
Yeah. That was pre you even being at IGN.
Yeah. I wasn't in IGN at all. So I played a little bit online with you and Fran. I didn't play Destiny 1 much with you because you were on Xbox
exactly,
at the time.
Yeah.
And so it was weird coming in and seeing that because, Alfredo was in the mix a lot. And Alfredo, announced that he was leaving. And once he did that, you pretty much jumped in to fill that spot. So,
yeah. I mean, Alfredo was also, while he was here, being pulled in a lot of directions, right? Because like he was, you know, he's
branded,
he's a skilled player. So he was always doing, you know, he played Destiny a lot because he liked it, but he was also playing a lot of other first person shooters at the time. Like there was a Far Cry game that came out.
Yeah.
Rainbow Six Siege, I think, was coming out at around that time. So he was being pulled in a lot of different directions. And so filling that third seat became something that we needed to do a little bit more regularly. And I think I kind of came in there and, like you said, was a voice for the Xbox people because people had known me from coming from Unlocked. Also focused a little bit more, I think, at that point than other people did on the PvP aspect of it. And, you know, I think I just found a home talking about a game that I love.
Steven, when did you meet Sean for the first time?
When did I meet Sean for the first time, like in person?
Do you remember even?
It would have been the
reveal.
Like,
was that the, no, it was at the 20th.
No, it was at the 20th. IGN's 20th reveal. I think I said hi to you. Briefly.
And what's your impression of him? Tell him right now to his face.
Wait, at the IGN 20th anniversary?
Because
I was there.
Because
that was a really cool part.
It was a long time ago. I basically had met Steven online playing Trials. This is all kind of a blur, but I met Steven online playing Trials and I remember him hitting me up going like, is this IGN party something that like other people can go to externally? And I was like, yeah, you should come on out. And he's like, yeah, dude, I watch the show a lot. And I was like, well, I'm pretty sure we're all going to be there. And that was the first time that, and again, this is way before you were hired because that was was about like a year and a half to 2 years, maybe before you were actually hired.
When was the 20th?
That was like three years ago.
Is that the one where we did the photos together and stuff like that with the ghosts?
Oh, that party. I'm thinking about the 20th anniversary E3 party.
No.
Huge theater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was here in San Francisco. It was down the road.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
So that's where Steven met me, I think. That's where I met all of you guys for the first time in person.
Yeah, yeah. in person. I had played with CJ for a long time before that. Yeah.
I was like, that guy will never work at IG. Yeah. No, Steven, you were very nice. So real quick, Fran wanted to be here. He couldn't, but he sent a little video in just to sort of also say his goodbyes and talk about episode 200 being a special episode. So we'll sort of that really quick. Fran, take it away.
Hey, Guardians. I can't believe I'm not there for episode 200 of Fireteam Chat. What a special day. But on this very Friday, I also do a little FM3 over on Twitch thing, a day I'm trying to carve out, so I'm trying to stick to that schedule. But rest assured, I would love to get back there, when we get some more content out for Season of the Drifter. So hopefully I make it back over there for that. But I wanted to say I miss everyone. Would love to come back on the show. I'm wearing the shirt today. Obviously, a very special day. And man, it's just been a crazy ride all these years since the Destiny Alpha is how far back it is for me, and I'm sure many of you. And it's just an amazing community, and seeing where Fireteam Chat is today, the show that it is, I know it being a half hour show, a 45 minute show, a 60 minute show, it's taken many evolutions and people always want more. But, honestly, I was always really proud of the format that we had over there. And anyway, long story short, the show's awesome. I miss being on it. Hope to get back, again when the Season of the Drifter and some content is around. CJ, Destin, and Stev and team asked me to say one important thing, which is farewell to Sean. Obviously, I was involved when we hired Sean at IGN, and, you know, to hear now that he's moving on to brighter pastures and new pastures, I should say, is super exciting, but he's not going to be on Fireteam Chat anymore. I know how that feels. I know he's probably bummed, and the crew's probably bummed, but, dude, I enjoyed all the shows being on with you. You taught me a lot about World of Warcraft. I thought I knew about it, but man, you're the expert. Just kidding, Sean. But it's been great to see Sean, sticking with Destiny all these years. I'll be honest, I wasn't sure that he was going to, because he had a lot of critiques in the beginning, right? And like, it's not that we all don't as Destiny fans, but it's amazing to see that it has grown on him and how long he's been part of Fireteam Chat. But I digress. Anyway, Sean, I wish you well on all your new endeavors. And, obviously the Fireteam Chat crew, you're going to be fine. You got so many great people over there who still love Destiny and play Destiny and know what to say when it comes to all the new updates coming out there. So I guess that's mostly it. One other quick memory that I had, I was reflecting on the Guardian out. And you try to come up with stuff for shows and have like a little tagline, and I think they're going to talk about it or have talked about it already on the show, but I was just thinking back that really is something that is special about the show. We didn't really sit down and come up with, until next time, Guardians out. We were just sitting in the room and we were ending the show, and I'm sure Destin has a clip of it, but I remember like blurting it out. I was like, Guardians out, or Guardian out, or whatever, and we kind of just laughed about it, but it evolved, much like the game and the community, and I'm just happy to see that it's still as cringeworthy as ever and that we've stuck with it. Just that is what this show represents, right? So anyway, happy 200th episode. Sorry that I couldn't be there, but I'll be back in the show soon enough if they'll have me, even after disgracing them on the 200th episode. So last note is, my favorite memory of Sean, I forgot to say. So of course, when he spoiled Avengers Infinity War for me. So I've been trying to forget what he said. I haven't actually even seen Infinity War yet. Now, part of that is because I have to watch some other movies before I sit down and finally complete that journey. But I'm trying to like wait so long that I just don't remember what he said. So no spoilers. Anyway, it's been great, everyone. Happy 200th episode. Getting those comments, spam those likes, you know, all the stuff to do. Sorry I couldn't be on the show, but I will see you all very soon. And until next time, Guardian out.
Not surprising, Fran still has not seen Avengers.
Oh man, I really do miss Fran. Thank you, Fran, for that. Fran hired me, and I have learned so much from Fran. He's, you know, we, I think we've said this before on the show, but the IGN Video, the business that IGN is now, that was built by Fran. Like, he built the house that is IGN Video. And I don't know, I think literally all of us on here and many people out there who you don't see on camera owe their careers and their starts to that guy.
Absolutely.
And he's just like, dude's a legend.
Yeah.
Ironically, this show really well represented the video team at IGN because video people kept ending up. Brian Malkowitz has been on the show, for example, and he ended up producing the show. Mm-hmm. Ronnie will never be on. But
Someday. We need you back there, Ronnie.
Ronnie has been a phenomenal addition. He has helped me so much. Like, he allows me to work on other projects, and he really, really helps make this show what it is today. And he's only been here a little while.
Yeah, so. Since pretty much like I think October, we got a chance to reach out to Ronnie that Comic-Con that just went by. Yeah, I've been absolutely positive. 2006 is when I first met Fran, which is crazy.
Yeah, you guys go way back.
That goes back a long way. And then I obviously had my own business in Canada and did whatever, but I ended up not coming until I think 2015 near the end of it. But that was great when we were playing a lot of Destiny Online. So I do attribute some of me getting here playing Destiny and knowing Fran. It was a combination of the two.
I used to edit the Armory at Screw Attack, and he called me up one day because I was having like this weird screen tearing issue with Final Cut Pro. He calls me up and he's like, yeah, hey, what's going on? Yeah, I noticed your videos are great. They're awesome. But you need to do this thing to adjust the screen tearing. And I was like, this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Idiot. Oh, it worked.
He hired me.
And then he hired me a few years later after that, after I moved to San Francisco, and it worked out. It was cool. It was really, really
rest
cool.
Rest in peace, Fran.
I'm still out there. Mm-hmm. Still out there doing his thing.
Sean, you started doing a weird thing that I hate, but at the request of our audience, we put together a montage of a little thing you do at the start of the show that, it's something. Just check it out, everybody.
Chomp, chomp, chomp. Hello, everyone.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
Then again. Chomp, chomp. I'm back.
There it is.
Chomp, chomp, chomp.
There it is. Doing the shot.
Sean Finnegan.
Hello. Chomp, chomp.
We'll do it.
Chomp, chomp.
Chomp, chomp. Stephen Rue.
What in the...
Chomp, chomp. Chomp, chomp.
There it is. Fine. Good to have
Fran Mirabella.
Chomp. Oh. Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
I don't know what to do.
Oh.
Hello.
Trolled you. Let's hear it. You.
Chomp, chomp.
Yes.
And that is Sean Finnegan.
Hello.
I don't like that last one very much.
Chomp chomp.
Chomp chomp, sorry.
Where did Chomp Chomp originate? Is it a PG this story?
Us? It is. Okay. It's a stupid story though.
I never know. Yeah.
It's a stupid story though. Back in the day, actually, you noticed earlier in the other package that at one point my Twitter handle was not what it is now, Shot by Finnegan. It was Finnegan. I am Finnegan. And that comes from an old StarCraft clan, and I wanted to change that, especially because I was going to be getting verified, and I wanted to have a name that was more representative of me and my brand. And so there was this big brainstorm in the office. This was work. Me, Alfredo, Tim Geddes, Alexis Kazambalidis at the time.
Oh, God, Alexis, yeah.
Pence now. A bunch of people were all talking about Malkowitz. Like, we all kind of were throwing around ideas. And the one that everyone seemed to like was either – Too Fast, Too Finnegan.
No, I like that.
Or
Scott Taylor took that.
Yeah, exactly. Too Scott, Too Furious.
Or Shark Finnegan. Tim Geddes was the one who just kept calling me the Shark. And I'll kind of not tell you why, but
does it involve hiking?
No, it doesn't involve hiking. But
I think I know. We should just probably gloss over.
No, it's just more because like I'm focused. I'm a little
driven,
aggressive, a little abrasive, I guess.
Oh, God.
There you go.
And so
Sean
he called
Finnegan.
Yeah. Oh my God, your water's gonna fall.
Oh, you're right. Thank you. it was about to happen. Yeah. And that will be episode 200.
So he was really pushing for Shark Finnegan, and I didn't want to do that because that's stupid. And
but you embraced
the chomp. He kept calling me that, and then it started to stick, especially with what became the Kinda Funny audience.
Right, right.
They all know me as the Shark, and there's clips of me at Kinda Funny Live, like coming out on stage with like a little shark hat on. There's a clip where like they start doing this chant, chomp, 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 and like hundreds of people are doing the same. Like, so now I kind of just have to embrace it, although I do think it's stupid.
Oh, hey,
okay,
I like you more now.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's a thing. Like my thing's pointing, right?
So. I think that's a lot of people's thing, but sure.
No, I did that back in Hard News days.
Oh, right. Hard News.
The see, point. See, I and never there would had, be a Zoom.
I never had a that. Thing. I mean, I say what's up at the beginning, but that's like a pretty generic thing. Chomp Chomp is at least
your,
fairly
original.
Your thing
original. Is you're incredibly nice and on the fence guy.
There you go. Definitely. I am the on the fence guy, yeah. Seeing both sides.
That's, well, that's have the, you considered this perspective?
But that's my, and that's my parental nature. It's like I'm always going, well, I don't know.
Well, let's play nice, guys.
Let's do this. I'm literally the judge of like three kids constantly. So I remember what it was like being like a child and going, oh, that's why he's thinking that way. But then the parent side of me is like, well, on the other hand, I'm like, so it's very natural.
Mm-hmm. Steven's just really good at games. That's
his
that's
thing.
His thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing, I guess. Okay. There's one other thing you do. We have one last package. You have a tradition. You have a few traditions on the show.
He knows
and wow,
what it is.
This one
wow.
You go to a lot.
Oh my god!
Take it away, Ronnie.
In World of Warcraft's players' minds, the subscription World of Warcraft has a subscription fee of $15 a month, and that was at one point like 13 million for 15 million active players.
Yeah, like I'm just
I'm not arguing about it. Like it's.
Or even
I gotta ask you a question, Sean.
Yeah,
it's about World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
did they do this?
Yeah, so that's what I was gonna say is there are a lot of time quests in World of Warcraft, yeah. Right, like so for instance in Battle of Azeroth right now yeah. In games like WoW and Diablo that just facilitates a whole new level of death.
I'm not going to elaborate too much on it.
Yeah. Oh,
so you bring it up dude, once in a while
yeah.
On the show.
Just that, about once in a while.
That was the long play. Like, I knew someday this would be used for something, which is the reason why if it wasn't on a wide shot when you said it, I made sure to get it in. But I watched actually previous episodes, even in the old studio, and I found two or three. We couldn't find them for this episode. But yeah you referenced it a lot. It's actually pretty funny when we look back at it.
Yeah, there's a lot of references to World of Warcraft throughout the episodes. There it is again.
Bang.
But I mean, I hope people understand why, right? Like,
of course. Yeah.
WoW is a very influential game that nailed a lot of the systems that we come to know in Destiny later on. So,
like Infusion.
Yeah. And Transmog.
Transmog.
Yeah.
It still doesn't exist. But, you know, whatever.
That's what I
mean. That was good, though.
Oh, God. Anyway, so I think that's enough of nostalgia. Let's get in the news so Sean can be salty one last time before he goes.
Yeah.
We've missed two fairly significant stories. One was this week, but we're going to go back a little bit and talk about the state of Trials of Osiris and how we feel about that. Here's the quote that we have from Bungie, which they released two TWABs ago.
Yeah.
As longtime Destiny players know, Trials of Osiris was released in May 2015 as the original high-stakes weekend PvP event. Trials had an amazing impact on our game and our community. It was a pinnacle venue for players to show off their best skills, strategies, and gear. Well, we got rid of it forever. Sorry, no, that's not what they said. So here's what they said about bringing it back. Both Destiny and the online PvP scene has evolved since 2015, so we don't believe that bringing it back, the 2015 version of Trials of Osiris, would accomplish what our goals are today. Until we have a solid prototype for a pinnacle PvP endgame activity, Trials is staying on hiatus indefinitely and will not return over the course of the next few seasons. When we have those new plans ready, we'll be sure to share them with you. I was very dismayed by this, personally. I was so hoping that they would just turn back on the version that they had in Destiny 2 so I could get that gear that I never had an opportunity to.
Yeah.
Or I really wish – I don't understand why they never left it on in Destiny 1. It doesn't make any sense to me. It's just a weekend thing. It seems like it's on a cycle.
Yeah. I mean, I think just from even the conversations I've witnessed online – now, as I say this – painful. Like, I want Trials to come back probably more than the next person. When did Battle Royale start becoming really big into the scene? Do you remember?
Big PUBG?
Yeah.
PUBG.
Yeah.
PUBG. Started with
H1Z1. Yeah.
But it wasn't big in H1Z1. Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I think if you look at what that introduced into the PvP space, that dominates a lot of like streamer and, you know, the views and the people that are playing the games right now. Now, I don't think that that's a reason why they turned it off, but I think that does have some effect on it. And I mean, we were talking about year one of Trials versus year three. Digging year three of Trials? Not really, right?
Well, technically, that was year two. That was year two of Trials, right?
Well, midway through when they did the special ammo update.
Before the special ammo update, I think Trials was in a really strong place.
Yeah, I agree.
When it was hand cannons or pulses or scouts.
Yeah.
Even when the AR was a usable
Taken
item.
King first came out, I think that's when Trials was at its best.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then they started changing the sandbox and adding, some people say that sidearms actually broke it.
Absolutely. I think some of that was that. But then if you look at even like Destiny 2, power ammo changed it. The two primary system changed it. There's a lot of things that just, well, countdown and survival changed it. There's a lot of things that just,
big one.
Those were big ones. And it just never felt quite the same in Destiny 2 as Destiny 1. I appreciate all the things they added. Going to the spire, some of the things of not having to go into the reef to get your boons. Those were welcome additions, but the problem is they had so many downsides to them as well that
those were quality of life changes. Exactly. And
Bungie always does quality of life changes well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's unfortunate. I heard this announcement and I'm like, oh man, but I do think that this is again them expectation setting. We, all were, I think, waiting for it. And if it's not going to come back, and we even said that a few times, like, oh, is it going to be next season? You're constantly waiting next season.
They're like, hey, stop guessing. It's going to be a long
time. Stop doing that. Yeah. I think so.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a little bit of a bummer for me. I really don't get, they just took it away on all platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, why? I wish they would have just left it on. Maybe it was like a pinnacle activity they only wanted to be available in Destiny 2 so that more people played Destiny 2. It had to be a business strategy, right?
I mean, I get the desire to want to do something new with it, right?
Yeah.
Like the idea, on this show and on many other Destiny content shows and Destiny fans out there voice the concern of rehashing old content, right? They just don't want what we already had back again and being it called new, right? So if you're the dev, I can understand like maybe there's a danger in bringing back Trials as it once was without mm-hmm. changing anything because people have said we don't want what we already had. We want something new, right? Yeah. So I get that. Also, they said in the statement that it doesn't fit their goals for 2018, 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on what their goals are, we may not know what they aim to achieve with it. So we have to understand that as well.
Yeah, they have a lot going on. Like they're no longer with Activision.
Yeah, there's a lot. They have a lot on their table.
There's a patent out there for either a new game or possibly a launcher, if people are guessing.
But the fact.
It's a rumor.
Yeah. But the fact of the matter remains that your most hardcore, people get on me for using the word hardcore. Your most engaged Destiny fans want something that's regular and competitive and different every time you play it.
Yeah.
To keep them coming back to the game in the long term. Mm-hmm. And Destiny doesn't have anything like that right now.
Yeah.
We're getting towards the end of Black Armory. We have new content coming up. We'll see what's in that. Maybe there's something in there to keep us like engaged for the long term. But for all people who were back, who were fans of Destiny back in Destiny 1, Trials was that thing where week to week you could come back. It was sweaty.
Chase
it was hard.
Gear.
Yeah. You could chase the gear. Mm-hmm. It was fun. And
it was rewarding.
And more importantly, every match was different. That's what Bungie is having a tough time doing with the modes that are in the game now. And what Battle Royales are doing best now is that there's one map in Apex Legends. There's
and every game
the same,
a different story.
The same weapons, although and I know they just added one. But when you get to that end game where it's just you and another squad or you and two other squads, it's different every single time based on the terrain, based on the weapons, based on the mm-hmm. gameplay. And Trials was that for Destiny, and there's nothing in the game like that now, and it needs that. Whether or not it is Trials or not, that remains to be seen for me. Like, mm-hmm. if Bungie tells me, listen, that's not what Trials is going to be. We have a different plan for Trials, but this is what that's going to be. Some other new mode. Rift comes back and it's different or whatever, right? Then I'm welcoming. I'm open to that idea.
Yeah.
Trials was such a linchpin community-wise, too. Gameplay aside, it was like people made like livings off of carrying people who've never been, who don't have
not that we necessarily advocate for that, but that is true.
But people who necessarily wouldn't have the skill wise to do it themselves, really good elite players would help them get to the lighthouse. And I feel like that is something you don't see in battle royales because there's no end carrot when you get to the lighthouse or when you get a win in battle royale. It's just like that feeling. And I think that made Destiny so interesting, especially on Twitch. Cause if you look at single players on Twitch, a lot of people just watch their favorite streamers play single players, and they don't have the incentive to play the single players.
Mm-hmm.
With Battle Royales, you want to watch really great players play Battle Royales to like kind of learn from them, I guess. With Destiny, I always felt like it was a perfect middle spot where you want to watch elite players and people do raids, but you also wanted to play the game for yourself.
And a lot,
because you wanted the loot.
A lot of those streamers, like I know Grainer Jake, he's been on the show before, mm-hmm. he would he would help people get to the lighthouse. Yeah. He ran me to the lighthouse once, on Xbox, like before Destiny 1 Trials went away. And it was just, it's a really cool way to collaborate with your community if you're a Twitch streamer or something.
Yeah, it did foster a sense of community. There is something to be said about whether or not it's the most competitive game type. I think we've had that conversation, Sean. Within Destiny, right? Like, the game, you know, while maybe not balanced like other competitive games like CSGO or whatever, like for Destiny, that mode felt super competitive. And that end game, like the last few rounds that you got back into that back and forth chess style situation with your supers in Destiny 1, it is pretty amazing. Like, it was hard to actually like explain what that feeling is, especially after if you're on like round 7 or 8 and you're, you know, you need that one extra little yellow circle in there, right?
Just, I mean, it was really intense. It did Destiny's gameplay a favor because, like, the problem with, I think, Countdown is that, like, you start a round. One, it switches round, like you defend and attack,
sides.
Alternate. That sucks. But it breaks up the action. Destiny is good when it's fast and fluid, and that's what Trials was. It's like, even if you died, you could be rezzed.
Yes.
In fact, res sniping became a thing. Like, the gameplay kept moving. Like, as long as you were alive, or even if you were dead, you were still part of the game.
Yeah.
And it didn't end.
Sorry, it just reminded me of like the push mechanic with res sniping too.
And you res someone and run at them so that they couldn't get res sniped because you're moving them.
And like, you were in if you knew to do that. Like, you had the hints.
Yeah, like that mode allowed for a meta to evolve. And people, this is something that's kind of insider baseball for esports, but if you're into competitive games, the meta is what people chase, right? The gameplay doesn't itself change, nor do the mechanics, but how the game is played by players at the elite level, that changes all the time.
Yeah.
And that's what we call the meta. And at no other point in any Destiny mode has the meta changed besides Trials. And so whether or not it's Trials that we get in 2019 or beyond, Destiny needs something where the meta can evolve and shift by virtue of the community and not necessarily the mechanics and the content.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it won't survive.
Interestingly enough, I've always said in past shows, would elimination work with 4v4? And I never knew because obviously we haven't had a chance to try it out. But I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends and your squads are 3. And it really feels Trials-esque in a way.
It does.
Because 3 is a magic number.
I think 3 is a magic number because your two teammates die and they're looking at you. And you have to fight another team of 3 and you can pull that off. 1v3 versus 1v4 is extremely
different.
It's dramatically different. Yeah. Your chances of winning a 1v4, I don't care how good you are extremely low. But in 1v3, you have the room to like outplay and outmaneuver people. And I think I'm convinced that 3 is the magic number now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's other things about the game mode, but that is one of them. You talked about Countdown and switching sides. Yeah, res tokens and all the rest of that stuff. There were too many gameplay mechanics that were introduced that you had to keep track of. And in the moment, like when you're going, okay, I need to res you, and you're like, oh, I don't have a token and all the rest of this stuff, it just did not have the same feel. So primary weapon system, power ammo every round. You know, what I would love, and people said, well, you know, you guys can critique it a lot. What would you like to be changed? Crucible Labs, I thought, was going to potentially introduce some of these things, if not permanently, just for like a week to test out.
They haven't done much with it in a while.
And then go away, and
they
haven't done
like
much.
I think we've gotten like 4 things total with Crucible Labs, which is a disappointment.
And I was hoping that, and so maybe if there's something that they can do in the future that brings in even just standard elimination or something back for a week or two temporarily in the form of Crucible Labs. So then your brain is not going, oh, this is promised to us infinitely. It's a test.
Yeah, just
that
see
would
what
be
it's
great.
Like.
Just
like
see
if it goes over well, maybe you run with the ball, right? But
absolutely.
There is a question about whether or not, at least I think there is a question about whether or not Trials in its 2013-14 phase, like, works in 2019.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, but at the same time, like, there's no harm in trying, right? Like, if it's a Crucible thing.
I think it's simple enough for an audience, for someone who's never watched Trials before, to pick up on it. Like, Battle Royale, it's like, you want to be the last man standing. In elimination, it's you're a team of 3. If you die, you can get rezzed, or your team gets wiped.
Or eliminate.
I think it's simple
team,
enough. Like, I'm obviously we haven't talked to Bungie about it, and I'm curious to see what they think is outdated. But honestly, I think Trials in 2019 would still be relevant.
Yeah, I mean, we talked a little bit last week. We'll get
not with special ammo.
Well, I'm talking about the format itself. Elimination is enticing enough to watch.
Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting. I mean, we all jokingly have said multiple times, you know, Destiny doesn't need a battle royale. It's like, after playing Apex Legends.
Oh, I still agree it doesn't need a battle royale.
But I'm not saying that, like, it wouldn't be cool to have one. Like at this point, once you've played Apex Legends and you feel how similarly those, like the shooting, the mechanics, the mobility, the movement, the abilities, those all feel very Destiny-esque. And they also have this Bungie feel to the meta and the weapons and the sandbox. Would I love to see some kind of battle royale implemented in the Destiny universe? Absolutely. I don't know if that is something that's on the roadmap for them to do or if that's possible, but I think that'd be super cool. Now that we've seen, you know, Respawn do it, I'd love to see a Bungie take on
it. It's really interesting because my pulse on the thing is a lot of Destiny community members do not want battle royales. In fact, they hate battle royales.
Yeah.
Like every time we talk about battle royales on the show, the comment section is just filled with,
oh, it's the Apex show. Well, we did it that one time pretty heavily.
Well, not, super not only that, but it's like,
also it came out that week.
Yeah. Exactly.
But not only
well,
that,
people were fatigued already by the time.
Well, everyone like, in the comments just don't want battle royales. They just don't like that genre. Yeah.
I mean, I get it. Listen, I actually don't want a battle royale Destiny thing. I think what Destiny does, it does better than any other game out there. Mm-hmm. But what I wanted to do actually, like, it sort of goes beyond what Destiny does now, and it kind of it encroaches on territory of esports territory, right? Like, I look at a game like Counter-Strike, right? I always bring up Counter-Strike because it's my favorite game of all time, and I think the greatest competitive shooter ever made on the record. Mm-hmm. but Counter-Strike hasn't changed since 1999. It's always been what that game is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, and it still has a community.
Yeah, it's the biggest first-person shooter out there.
one of them.
For a second, I thought like Overwatch might be bigger, but Overwatch was bigger for a time, but now Counter-Strike is
it's
back
still
on
Twitch regularly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. But the point is Counter-Strike's gameplay is so perfect and so awesome. And the fine tuning of the guns is just so laid in that the game evolves in different ways. Now it's how the game is played, the strategy that pro players use, all that stuff, right? That's how the game evolves beyond what the game is. Mm-hmm. Trials is the only thing in Destiny that allowed Destiny to grow beyond what the game format was. So, I brought it up. Does the old 3v3 elimination style format work in 2019? I don't know, but my instinct is yes. Because it's like Counter-Strike, where it doesn't have to change. The players make it change, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Super random thought that I just came up with. What if they had like a playoff format thing, right? This is completely random. I'm thinking of this out on the fly. 4 teams of 3 enter, right? And each team gets paired with another team,
mm-hmm.
and then the winner of those two
then turn on each other. Yeah.
Dude, so, okay, that would be so awesome.
So it would be trials.
And then the team that wins, they turn on each other, and then only one stands.
We had discussions. So cool. We had
like an elimination in an elimination.
Yeah. Well, like a tournament style format, right? Yeah. Like, we talked about whether or not there have been discussions on this show going way back now, whether or not Destiny could ever be an esport, right? And we talked a lot about, you know, how yes and no, because like everyone has different weapons.
When they
it's
brought
not
in
necessarily balanced.
When they brought in private matches, we thought, oh, this is it.
It could have been, right? But
the dedicated server people say no.
Well, yeah, but dedicated servers are a big thing. Obviously, like it being kind of an RPG where people have different weapons and different armor and stuff isn't necessarily balanced. Yeah, that also plays a factor.
Yeah.
But like, to your point, if the tools existed for you to use private matches to create your own tournaments, I guarantee you people on Twitch would do that, and people would watch it.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
Like if Datto and his team were like, we're putting out a challenge. Like put your squad together, and if you like, I don't know what it is, you win a qualifier, we'll put you in our tournament. It's happening this weekend. I would be there to watch that just to see. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Now I'm thinking like
potential.
Dude,
the potential for
the
that
competitive,
is just,
the competitive Destiny community is there.
Like, yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but in year one when there were no private matches, there's something called Search Eval.
Yeah. And people
when you would literally sit in a party chat, queue up at the exact same time. Searching. If you hit eval at the same time, it means you guys were probably going to match. And if one team had eval and you were still searching, you'd both cancel and repeat the process.
Yep.
Like, dude, the people were that dedicated to sit 30 minutes in orbit trying to get one game going. Like, it would totally be there.
Yeah, back in Halo 1 days, they actually created a thing so you could play online Halo, basically.
Well, that's that's
Xbox
kind of,
Connect, I think it was.
I think ultimately that's the most disappointing thing about Destiny now was like Halo, which also was made by Bungie, was the game that gave players in the competitive community the tools to make the competitive nature of the game into what they wanted. And it sprouted things like MLG.
Yeah.
Like MLG was built on the back of Halo.
Yeah.
And this is that same studio, but Destiny doesn't do that. In fact, it goes out of its way to not do that.
Well,
that sucks.
So it does, but to the other side, and again, you let me know when we need to move on, because I know we do. I'm keeping an eye on it. We're talking PvP now. Now, there's a lot of Destiny people who every time we talk about PvP are like, you know, get rid of it. And there is something to be said about that where, I mean, we're mostly all PvP guys. You are PvP a little bit, but you like PvE better.
I like Apex Legends sort of PvP, but there's no weight to the PvP in Destiny for me right now. There's nothing that I need to do that for.
There you go.
Trials would have given that to me. If the sets were cool, honestly, I didn't do trials because I'm like, it's super sweaty at launch.
Yeah.
I'll just wait. But then that was a mistake because then the player base dropped and I ended up facing off against like G1 or gigs.
And, yeah. And that's a challenge, right? I think Destiny is struggling with two identities. And we've said that a lot. And which do you focus on and how do you build the meta and what do you balance around? And I've always said, even though I'm a PvP fan, that I think that you need to make sure that the PvE people do not feel stifled by these creative decisions in PvP. Because it did. Like Destiny 2 Year 1, we said, like, all felt a little bit stale. And I think that was basically normalizing all the weapons to feel equal.
I mean, you've said this a lot of times on the show, CJ. As long as your PvE gear and PvP gear are interchangeable, the game will never be balanced.
Yeah.
There will always be something broken, always be something that people are complaining about. Like Wormhusk Crown or Wormhusk.
One-Eyed Mask.
Crutchusk.
It's called Wormhusk Crown, right?
Yeah.
Heal.
Theoretically, if you dodge as a hunter and you get your health back, in PvE, that would be great, right? Like, you're in a raid, you're about to die, you dodge. In PvP, it was super broken.
Which I still use all the time.
Teams of hunters that just did that and you couldn't out one. In Destiny especially, like, you know, you tag them twice and you push then, but they get their health back as a Wormhusk and then you're at a disadvantage.
And shotgun.
It's like, that it'll never be balanced, and Bungie's always fighting an impossible fight with this. If you really wanted a competitive PvP experience, you have to separate the two. You have to.
Yep.
You could just make a mode where weapons aren't on.
Here's the thing is, you say that, but the first iteration of Trials was pretty balanced. And it didn't separate PvP and PvE.
But you're right.
What was year one? Was it pulses at that point?
No, was it thorns? Yeah. It was thorn last word.
Hated them.
Yeah.
I loved it.
But here's the thing.
I loved it.
I loved it. But that's what we're saying. It's like, it was balanced, but there was really only balancing 2 to 3 weapons, and then you eliminated the whole exploration for all the different weapons you could get.
You can't have these cool effects that work in PvE that transfer to PvP.
Well, I mean, I agree with the armor and stuff, but like weapons, I kind of always treated it like that. Like, you don't really use the same PvE weapons that you do in PvP, do you?
No.
Most people don't.
That's true, but I think most of the complaints is from the weapons and the abilities and stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we've had this argument. I don't know what the solution is. It is, I think, I always say Bungie's most difficult thing to actually balance for. But,
like, I guarantee you, people put on rose tinted glasses. People go back, when Taken King came out, Trials was at its best. It was, but I guarantee if we went back in time and went back to that, I guarantee there was something that was overpowered and annoying as hell.
Yeah. Or it doesn't play as well as you think.
Yes.
Yeah. Guys, go back and play Goldeneye recently.
I always said
it's not as good as we all remember.
I always said Trials redefined PvP, and it's one of my favorite modes, and I hope when Bungie brings it back, it's really special.
True.
Real quick, it's getting a little cold in the studio today. I think
speaking of, look at this.
I forgot to bring mine.
There we go.
Destin Legere.
Yeah, so they sent us the last Wish raid jackets. It's a bomber jacket.
Show them the shoulder.
That's pretty cool.
Show them the right shoulder.
That's pretty cool.
Right one second.
Let's go. Okay, there you can lean this one into it. Yeah.
Yeah, there
you go. Close up there.
You got that. Bam. My gamer tag. You got this.
Nicely
done. Last Wish raid. It's pretty cool. It's actually really hefty and warm. Hopefully the other 7 people the raid the first week get their suit.
Will you walk down the street wearing this jacket?
I will.
Frick yeah,
there
I
you
will.
Go. And can we get you a set of aviators before you do?
I think them in the car.
There we go.
You know I wear aviators. Right,
that's good. That's what's missing with this ensemble. But
so I just wanted to
cool,
show
man.
Everybody really quick the jacket. And Sean, what happened? Did you get one?
$180? He's right.
Yeah, right. What he's trying to say is you did not beat the raid.
I'm trying to say is
wait, what was the qualification though?
You had to beat the raid before the reset.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Before reset.
So I think
I don't think I did.
It was really tough.
You had 4 days? No, 3 days? 4 days.
I can't remember when I did beat the raid. Yeah. I don't know if it was in the first week.
Yeah, I didn't beat it.
But it wasn't too long after.
Yeah. It also comes with these. There are like some tags that you can put on for your particular subclass.
Oh, that's cool.
If you're interested. So. Yeah,
this cool. is the nerdiest jacket of all time.
It is really
and
amazing.
And I love it.
It is good.
It's a nice jacket.
It is cool.
It's very warm.
Oh, that looks so great. Can you put it away now?
I dig it. I dig it.
Like, yeah, she likes it.
That's solid.
Anyway, I just wanted to show it off really quick. Before we transition to the next topic, is going to be Gambit changes. A bunch of changes are coming to Gambit. Most importantly, the final round. Steven, we talked about this a little bit before the show. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
There's a lot of quality of life changes coming to Gambit, and I think they're awesome.
Talk about the end.
Yeah, one of the main complaints is Gambit took too long, mm-hmm. and it would be faster to get blown out 0-2 than tie it up on the second round. So they're fixing that. The third round is just going to be a straight-up boss fight. They haven't said exactly what it is. I think it's just going to be that Primeval thing where you get the Malfeasance quest. Mm-hmm. But I think that's a great change. And then they're also changing spawn points, because right now if you're a very good Gambit player, you know exactly where the invader's going to spawn, and you could just snipe him out. And they're changing blockers.
I like the blocker change a lot, because mm-hmm. if you spawn the lowest level
CJ
blockers.
CJ actually came up with that on the, or I don't know if they listened.
CJ is the one who fixed it, everybody.
All me. There
Bungie
you go.
Bungie did a little bit.
Thanks,
CJ
guys.
Is really the one we should all credit.
It was all me.
For fixing
it was all me.
Gambit. Thank you, CJ.
You're welcome.
So on five modes, you're getting a Taken Goblin, and I was talking to Sean about this. When I first heard that, I was kind of like, that's kind of weird. But then I thought, remember, they had that immune mechanic. Mm-hmm. If you send like four of those at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine a team of Guardians who aren't on mic together coordinating like which one to shoot at the same time? Like,
so that's
they're all going
annoying.
Immune.
The medium
blocker. Also, if you do two, they'll just protect each other.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Medium blocker is a Taken Captain with more health than the previous knight. And the large blocker is a Taken Knight with more health than the previous ogre. I don't know if it's going to be a Sword Knight or one of those Blaster Knights. But I like those changes. And another thing that people have always complained about, and I knew I wasn't crazy, Queenbreaker's bow had a bug in it. But I had 200 aim assist. 200% aim assist. People were giving me crap about saying it was overpowered. I could literally close my eyes and shoot in the air and kill.
As long as you're literally, as long as you were facing the right direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
you could like hit
as long
fire
as the Guardian
almost.
Wasn't behind you.
So
you
hopefully power ammo won't be too prevalent in Gambit.
Yeah.
Cause I always thought it was more fun when you're just using like your super, or your primaries or specials.
They also changed one of the stats that allowed you to get the Dredgen title because it was almost impossible to invade. I know you don't like it because you got it, but the issue is because of the amount of power ammo that people are getting, I'm still like, those are the only things I need to get in order to get it where you needed to be the invader and you needed to kill a person invading with your super. Nobody ever invades with a super.
No way.
They use Queensbreaker.
Well, what did it used to be? You needed to kill an invading Guardian while they were super.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
So,
exactly.
So how did they change it?
Yeah.
Now it's just anyone in their super.
Super.
Yes.
If you're in a super and you kill someone, it counts.
This is why I don't chase titles and stuff.
No, but
that's exactly what I want Sean to talk about.
Yeah. So I think this is crap. Because
you got the title.
Yeah, because it makes it.
Well, not specifically about
it lessens your accomplishment.
Well, it not only does it lessen it, but it makes it more widely accessible. Like now it's easier to get.
Yes.
And the thing is, I don't think titles should be easy to get. I don't think anything at the high end should be easy to get. And a change like this, like, listen, I get it. It was frustrating. I was frustrated when I did it, but it led to me being like, anytime anyone supered and was invading, I would like balls to the wall run at them because I needed that kill. And it took me like a month.
Yeah.
But I finally got it. Mm-hmm. So if I can do it, then I think it's easy enough. That should be enough.
Let me interject that the issue is when things like Queensbreaker were top of the meta, nobody was going in as an invader using your super. That's true. Is that
true?
Viewer?
Oh. I'm just trying to show off the jacket while you talk.
But don't blame it on the meta. I was playing during the same time.
Yes, but there is something to be said where at the beginning of the introduction to Gambit, there's a lot of people who are learning that game mode. And so now, once you got to that point where you're like, no, I'm not going to invade with the super because it puts me on notice. So 9 times out of 10, you would always get the power ammo. And if you had Queensbreaker, you'd basically, you'd aim at somebody's foot and hit them in the head. Like, I have like slow motion replays of that happening. there would never be a time where I would go in and use my super. And when people started to realize that, I think the solution, because I hear what you're saying, I don't disagree with it, there could have potentially been a bounty or something to incentivize people using their super going in as an invader to kill the four people.
Maybe they'll fix that.
But like,
now that you fixed that,
all I'm saying is that that meta didn't shift all that much between the time I got it and the time people are doing it now.
Absolutely, it would have.
No.
Yeah, because, no, listen.
That's crap.
No, absolutely not. Because people would not have had Queensbreaker and any of these OP weapons the first few months of that.
John is saying he got it during the same time.
Yeah, but I didn't get it during that time. Like, I didn't have a Queensbreaker until well into my Gambit. I actually got my title. I got my title before I got Queensbreaker.
Yeah, like a month ago. Right?
Longer than that.
Bit longer.
Yeah, but like
in December. It was right after the holiday party.
Right. Yeah, that was.
Yeah, because you left the holiday party. Yeah. Anyways,
it feels like 2019 is really long.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you because Bungie has done this in a few different things with Redrick's broadsword and all the rest of that stuff. And people felt similar when those things happened as well. So. Yeah.
All I'm saying is that like this trend of making things easier because people whine about it, I don't like it. And I don't approve because I want things that are desirable for me are the things that are hard to get. And I think for a lot of the most engaged people, that's how it is. So it just, we'll see more Dredgens out in the wild, and I guess that's okay. I guess I'll have to get a new title.
Yeah, you will. And the rest are based on RNG, so good luck with that.
Moral of the story is like, just keep whining about it, and they'll make it easier at some point.
Like the Malfeasance quest, you know what? After I did those 100 runs, I was just like, I'm done. Like they're going to fix it. I know they will because they've historically just made it easier for people to get things.
Yeah, like listen, I'm not advocating for things to be broken, but let's be real. Like there were a good amount besides Wayfarer, Dredgen was the next most prevalent title.
Yeah.
It wasn't as if
it was achievable.
Yeah, like it wasn't as if no one could get it and it was way too hard that necessitated this change, I think. Now maybe the devs did think that, and I guess that's their prerogative because I'm not a dev, right?
Pretty sure they have data to potentially see where people are getting like.
Pretty sure they have data.
I'd have if I had a guess. Dredgen's probably the number one title.
Yeah, over Wayfarer even.
Yeah, I would say
so. Yeah. Some other changes.
I see more Wayfarers.
Some other changes besides Sean's title nerf. shotguns are getting a damage multiplier in PVE activities, doubling their damage. Legend Acrius is an exception to the rule, of course. And then the full auto rate of fires, shotguns is now 10%, down from 100%. I don't know if I like that one. And then default rate of fire for a bunch of stuff was reduced. So
yeah, they're basically nerfing full auto shotguns like Escalation Protocol and the new Rage Shotty. And they're buffing the other shotguns. I can see why they're doing it because right now in PvE, you're only going to use a full auto shotty. You're not ever going to use like a slug shotty or some whatever like that. But I don't know. Like,
here's the thing is like, see, this is getting into that thing where like most engaged players, the most hardcore players are always going to find what is the best and what is the most efficient and use that loadout exclusively. Right?
Yeah.
So I get that. Yeah.
Like one-eyed mask.
Yeah. Like it's problematic.
That's been adjusted.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it's problematic when everyone who raids or everyone who does the raid at the high end or whatever needed to use the EP shoddy, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they look at that and they're like, well, that sucks because no one's using all these other cool weapons, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
we look at that and like, this is fun.
Yeah, but we look at that and we're like, oh, you have to get that weapon. It's like 100% necessary.
And when you get it, it's more fun.
Yeah,
and
because now you've earned it and it's awesome, right? Like, I think this goes back to like whenever they need to nerf one weapon, they nerf a whole class of weapons and it just doesn't work.
I mean, it's some of the reason why Galahorn got nerfed. Like for a little while in Destiny 1, Truth became the new Galahorn because it had more in the tube and it was pretty aggressive tracking all the rest of that stuff. But
no one remembers that time.
Well, it was a while ago. No, it was a while ago. And I'm just saying like that was the Wolfpack aggressive rounds were the things that they nerfed because it just made Galahorn too strong. And so they do have a history of doing this. I think again with positive intentions, but you're right. It affects the gameplay in weird ways, especially when you've been playing this way for the last like year and a half.
It also just takes away the carrot, right? Like if you're a person who didn't have EP Shoddy and you wanted it because it's awesome, Now it's like, well, I don't really need it because it's not that good anymore.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, like it just takes away the carrot.
But this is the Destiny story. I feel like this will always be the ebb and flow of what Destiny is.
So you mentioned Truth real quick.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen this video, go on YouTube and search for The Last Truthbender.
Oh yes.
It's a PvP video of this guy.
Direction I've seen.
Really making use of the aggressive tracking.
It's so good.
It's from Destiny 1. It's awesome.
Yeah,
it's
so good.
But
it's
like, really cool.
Those are situations where it's like, that is broken and it needed to be nerfed. But it's also so fun and awesome.
And I agree with you. I understand why they're balancing these things and why they nerfed and they didn't want anyone to feel excluded. But if you think about it, those are the reasons that create stories. What are the two stories in Destiny 1 that are the most prevalent? Loot Cave, and I didn't buy Gallahorn because it was a rocket launcher in week two,
exactly.
And I regret it for the rest of my life. I don't think there are any stories like that in Destiny 2, are there?
No, not really.
Or when Alfredo and I were recording my Xur visit, and I accidentally bought Lucky Raspberry instead of what I needed.
Coin.
And then I ran out of coins.
I remember that.
And it's funny, we're doing the Let's Play. I'm like, but yeah, real quick, I'll just inspect
over
it.
He misclicked.
Yeah.
Over Gallahorn?
It was like raspberry instead of other thing that I really needed.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys remember this. Do you remember when you could cheese Atheon off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pushing him off.
Solar nades?
Yeah.
This was never confirmed.
That was funny.
But do you remember when Xur sold the gauntlets, the solar grenade gauntlets, like 6 weeks in a row?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember that? It was a thing on the weekends. What does Xur have? What does Xur have? Something new, something new. But Warlocks always had those gauntlets. And people were like, it's a punishment because Warlocks cheesed Atheon off. Now Bungie's pissed and you're going to get the same damn exhaust every single week.
That's funny. That's good. Awesome. And then Titan Helmet. I mean, that's the last thing, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They didn't add invisible hammers for you. They didn't add anything like that. They actually nerfed you just a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Congrats.
It needed a nerf.
It did need a nerf.
Listen, I will agree. It needed a nerf, but I think now it's like, I think they might have overdone it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That's everything for the news this week. I don't know if you guys want to give any last thoughts about the show, but I will thank the community for just being a part of this and letting us do this. And there's actually one more thing that I wanted to throw to real quick before we end the show. And it's a thank you to all the guests. We tried to get all of them in this montage. Hopefully we did. If we didn't, I apologize. But we've put a montage of all the guests that have been a part of Fireteam Chat over 200 episodes. We've done a lot on this show. And just as a thank you, we want to take a look back and remember everybody who's been here with us and a part of this.
It is Datto.
Datto.
Hey.
King Gathalion.
That's me. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Professor Broman. Today.
Hi, I'm known as Lisa Bloor on Twitch.
Luke Smith and Mark Noseworthy, two leads on Destiny 2. Guys, you just had your big reveal. How do you feel?
I go under the alias of Isle of Noobs on the interwebs.
We have Patrick from Planet Destiny.
Howdy.
Hi, I'm Kyle Alejandra.
I'm here with Eric and Deej from Bungie.
And we are here with none other than Holdsmith from Planet Destiny.
This is none other than Morla Gordona, the voice of Eris.
This is Datto.
I am here with none other than my name is Bife.
First episode.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
And I am here in LA with Datto.
Hello.
And today we have my name is Bife. How's it going?
How are you guys doing?
Along with Scott from Bungie.
Hi, how's it going?
And of course, Deej, you are back. We interviewed you today. It's good to see you again.
Good to be here.
Today we have a special guest, actually.
Sean Pitts.
And with us today is Scott Taylor.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's okay.
CJ? Nailed it. And also Deej.
And we have a guest today, Grenader Jake. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Miss Team KK via Skype. We are so excited to have you. And joining us in the studio, I'm very happy to announce, is Pope. Pope, how's it going?
Awesome.
I forgot they were both on.
The Pope. Am I the Pope?
Yes, Grenader Jake is also here.
Hello, everybody.
Well, joining us in the studio today is Miss 5000 Watts. Thank you so much for being
here. We figured out the monitor later.
And we have Say No to Rage, our special
guest.
Three
tasks are back, baby.
Thank you for having me.
Who are you?
My name is Fallout. I got a YouTube channel. YouTube.com/FalloutPlays. I'm on Twitch as well.
So that was a look at a lot of the guests who have managed to be on the show, be a part of it, and thank you for either viewing or coming to GuardianCon and being a part of our live panels,
yeah,
or just saying hello, or just watching every weekend, inviting us into your life.
Absolutely.
And also, CJ, this jacket is amazing.
I mean, it,
just letting you know.
Put it this way, it looks really warm, and the studio is always freezing cold.
It's very puffy, so it's good for recording this show.
Dude, that's pretty cool. I mean, so I met Bife basically on that episode. That episode that you guys were away, I think, at PAX or something like that, and Fran was like, hey, you want to be on the show? I'm like, yes. And then after that, we had to do a weird, you know, it was Crimson Doubles.
Yeah.
So it was right around like a couple weeks ago, and that was, yeah, my first episode. Yeah, almost like over, just a little over 3 years ago now. So
Steven and I did Crimson Doubles for PlayStation stream a few days ago. It was really fun.
Yeah.
That's a really good mode.
Dreading it, but it was fun.
So they can do 2v2 a limb. They can do 2v2 a limb, and we had a blast. Yeah. It was really, really good.
Just get one
more in there.
Yeah. You can't res in Crimson Doubles, can you?
No.
You can't res. No. We were joking about it, too. Like, res.
I remember there was one point where I died next to Destin. I was like, revive me, Destin. And I literally saw his guardian look at my orb.
Yeah, just muscle memory, you know?
Yeah, that's good.
I like that mode a lot. But thank you to Bungie also for making a fantastic game that has sort of brought this community. I've met so many people, and there's so many major influencers now in the video game space that got their start from Destiny.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see what this game has managed to do externally, and then GuardianCon raising money for children. And it is a special experience. You know, I come on the show and I complain and I whine, we'll say whine, about a lot of stuff. But at the end of the day, Destiny brings together some of the best people in the industry.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing to see how they've grown and what the community has managed to do for society as a whole.
Yeah. So 100%.
Thank you, Bungie. And thank you for making a great game.
Absolutely.
Sean, I'm going to miss you very much.
I'm going to miss you guys too, but you know, I won't be going too far.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll still be playing Destiny, and we'll all still be gaming together, and all of us game together regularly now. And I don't think that'll change. So, I just, you know, I want to thank the community, and I want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be on this show. Like you said, Destin, the best part of Destiny as a game is the community.
Yeah.
And like, sometimes it's hard for us to remember that, like, you know, as we all sit in this room just talking with one another, and there's no one else in here, that there's all these people out there whose lives have been affected by the game and by the content we make. And so that's really gratifying for us, and we thank you guys for that. And I'm just going to miss you guys all so much.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you too, man. Sean. It's going to be weird when we come back next week or the future episodes, and it's going to be like, oh, Steven might have to carry the Chomp Chomp torch for just a little bit. It was also weird because Fran transitioned out a little while ago too. So
definitely,
playing with you online, even, you know, we've been producers here in the office. Going to miss having you around. But I know that you're just a Discord message away, and I'm sure
true.
Be,
I won't be going far.
Often, so.
Yeah,
and
it's a part of my life.
I can send you an invite, and you'll not join. Let me play with you. It'll be great. I'm not very good at PvP. Sean really likes PvP. He's like, I'd rather win this round.
No, it's good.
Dustin, I'll always play with
you. Yeah,
unless my squad's full.
Which it is all the time. We get these matches going. No, I'm excited for some of the new content with Season of the Drifter and everything else too coming up.
So I'm going to miss you a lot, Sean.
Yeah.
You brought a lot to this show, and I appreciate your wisdom, and always be the guy that kind of goes against the grain. And I think every show needs someone like that.
It's valuable.
Thanks. Yeah. You sure I wasn't the shill? Because that's what
you fluctuated. Like, it's weird. Only in the last few months,
exactly.
The last few months since like that Andrea debate, you went from like, you know, maybe shill, but then you went to like villain. You did the WWE heel thing where all of a sudden you became the villain and you just embraced it so well. So I actually appreciate that. You're just like, I'm saying it how it is. I don't care.
I do enjoy kind of being the heel of this show. But I did think it was really funny that, like, for so long I was the villain and the heel. And then for
the
last 2 months or so, people were like, that Finnegan guy is bought off and paid for it. And I was like, me?
When?
Like,
yeah. You must be
new around.
Yeah, definitely. Well, do you think you got one more outro before you go?
Of course, man. I'll have infinite amount of outros for this show.
Right.
Perfect. Well, that's it for this episode, everybody. Until next time,
Guardians out.
Oh. And there was one more thing. Take it away, Deej.
Hey, Fireteam Chat. It's Deej from Bungie, sending along my most heartfelt congratulations on your 200th episode. It's been an awesome journey, and we've been so grateful that you've been an important part of it. We've enjoyed sitting on your set in 3 cities on 2 continents, and we're looking forward to being guests again real soon. Thanks for leading such a great conversation about the game we all share. And to Sean specifically, we know it's your last show, so we wish you all the luck in the world on your next adventure. We would have loved to have played a more active role on this episode, but we're heads down getting ready for the season of The Drifter. That conversation begins next week, so stay tuned. Once we've revealed what's next, we'll be making an appearance on Fireteam Chat again to talk all about it. So keep your eyes on us in all the usual places, and we'll see you next week. Eyes up, Guardians. Deej out.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.